Star Trek, the customizable card game, the game that wouldn't die, 2026 homage and how to play. Robert here, pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. Star Trek, the customizable card game is a 1990s deck building game, Decipher, 1994 to 2007, where you complete missions and overcome dilemmas with away teams to score 100 points, and it's still actively played in 2026 because the Fan Run Continuing Committee keeps both editions alive with free, printable cards and an annual world championship. I'll be honest, I walked past this one 3 times. A battered white box of photo-faced cards in a bin at a Saturday show, edges soft, somebody's old Federation deck still rubber-banded inside. Out of print since 2007, no publisher, no new product on any shelf anywhere for the better part of 2 decades, every reason in the world to keep walking, and I did twice before I sat down with it. The catch was, and this is the part that turned me around, this game isn't dead. It only looks dead from the outside. Decipher stopped printing it in 2007, sure, but the players didn't stop playing. They formed a committee, named themselves after the Romulan one from Deep Space Nine, and just took it over. Free cards you print at home, living rules updated last year, a world championship that ran in Germany in 2025. I've held worse for worse reasons. I almost left a living thing in a bin because it didn't come with a price sticker from a store that still exists. So this one stays, and this entry is less a buyer's guide than a love letter. To the cards, with their grainy 1990s screen stills and their affiliation-colored borders. To the slow, strange ritual of sending an away team down to a planet and watching a face-down dilemma stop them cold. And most of all to the people who decided a good game shouldn't die just because the company that made it walked away. Let me show you what I found and how you can play it tonight without spending a dime. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. So what exactly is the Star Trek CCG, and why do those cards look like that? At its heart, it's a customizable card game in the 1990s tradition. You build your own deck, sit across from someone who built theirs, and race to complete missions before they do. Decipher, a game company out of Norfolk, Virginia, launched it in 1994, originally under the mouthful name Star Trek, the next generation customizable card game, and the very first set, Premiere, was 363 black-bordered cards drawn from across the seasons of TNG. The look is the thing people remember first. Every card is a grainy photographic still lifted straight from the show, a screen capture of Picard mid-order, a transporter room, a planet set. Personnel and ships belong to asterisk affiliations, Federation, Klingon, Romulan and non-aligned at the start, later expanded to around 16, including Borg, Cardassian, Dominion, Ferengi and Bajoran, each with its own border color and a little affiliation icon tucked in the corner. I find that aesthetic genuinely lovely now in a way it maybe wasn't meant to be. It's the texture of 90s television frozen onto cardboard, not slick illustration, but the actual show, pixels and all. You don't get that anymore. This one earned a shelf partly just for how honestly it wears its decade. How did a hit game end up out of print? It wasn't for lack of love. With a run of more than 13 years across 2 editions, the Star Trek CCG was both very popular and genuinely profitable for Decipher. This was a real player in the trading card game boom, not a footnote. Second edition arrived in December 2002, a 415-card rebuild designed to clean up roughly 7 years of accumulated first edition complexity. And that complexity was real. First edition had no balanced cost system for cards, so stopgap rules kept getting bolted on, card types grew from 9 to 17 plus, and the rulebook swelled from around 9 pages to over 200 by the late 1990s. It made for a deep, beloved, occasionally unwieldy game with a famously steep learning curve. Then, on December 5, 2007, Decipher announced it would stop releasing new sets and officially end support. The final official expansion, fittingly titled What You Leave Behind, shipped December 14, 2007. That's the moment most games quietly die. The catch, the thing I almost missed standing over that bin, is that this one didn't. Who saved it? This is the part that made me love it. The same month Decipher walked away, December 2007, the players formed a group to keep going. They called it the Continuing Committee, after the shadowy Romulan body from Deep Space Nine, and they meant the name literally. It's an all-volunteer, not-for-profit organization, registered in Washington State, run by a board of 7 directors. Not licensed by Paramount, not a company, just fans who decided a good game shouldn't be allowed to end. Here's the astonishing part. Rather than reselling old stock, the committee makes asterisk new cards, free downloadable, print-and-play virtual expansions you print at home. They've now released more sets of cards than Decipher ever did. They maintain living rules and errata. The first edition Dilemma Resolution Guide carries an update date of late 2024. They support 3 of the old Decipher games at once, first edition, second edition, and Tribbles. And they run organized play right up to an annual World Championship. Worlds 2025 was held in mid-August near Munich, Germany, with exclusive promos for each edition. And they're still building. The committee published a asterisk second edition project status update for 2025-2026 asterisk, with new sets in production. Nearly 2 decades after the company quit, the game is demonstrably, provably alive. As the committee itself puts it, the Star Trek CCG never really died. When Decipher lost the license, the players just took over. That's the whole reason this one stays on my shelf. I've never seen a clearer case of a community refusing to let a thing they love go cold. The Continuing Committee, Trek. Orgy is all volunteer, not for profit, and fan run, not a licensed publisher. Every new expansion is free, high resolution PDFs you print at home. They've now made more sets than Decipher did. Worlds 2025 ran Org 15-17, 2025 near Munich. Both 1E and 2E are still in active development for 2026. How do you actually play it? Strip away the deck building and the strategy, and the core loop is beautifully Trek. You go out, you encounter the unknown, you solve the problem with the right people. Both editions share the same goal, score 100 points, primarily by completing missions. In first edition, you also have to complete at least 1 planet mission and 1 space mission. Each player brings exactly 6 missions, and the 2 of you lay them out alternately to build a shared spaceline, a row of locations, each worth points, each with an asterisk span, the travel distance to reach it. Some are planet missions, some are space missions. Then you start bringing your resources into play. Personnel, ships, equipment. Personnel are your engine. Each one carries 3 numeric attributes. Integrity, cunning, strength, a classification officer, engineer, medical, science, security, VIP, civilian or animal, and 1 or more skills like physics, diplomacy or security. To score a mission, you send an away team or a ship's crew in space to attempt it. But missions are guarded by dilemmas, face-down hazards stacked underneath them. You encounter them 1 at a time, and depending on who you brought, a dilemma might stop your team cold, slow them, or do nothing at all. Clear the dilemmas, and if the survivors collectively have the skills and attribute totals the mission requires, you solve it and bank the points. Ships move your people along the spaceline and must be properly staffed to fly, with their own range, weapons and shields. 1 to 100 wins. That's the game Star Trek rendered as a puzzle of preparation and nerve. First edition or second edition, what's the real difference? This is the great friendly schism of the fandom, and it's worth understanding before you pick a door. Both editions win at 100 points by completing missions. What differs is how you get there. First edition, 1994, opens with a setup ritual called the Seed Phase, a multi-step sequence, doorway mission, dilemma, facility, where before a single normal turn, players secretly place dilemmas, artifacts and outposts face down under and around the missions. You're pre-building puzzle traps for your opponent. It can run upwards of 15 minutes, and the people who love 1E love it precisely because of that ritual. It tries to literally recreate moments from the Trek universe. Second edition, 2002, throughout the long setup. It added a counter cost economy. You get 7 counters a turn and spend them to play cards. Costs are printed in the top left corner. Only interrupts are free, and replace seeding with an on-the-fly method where you draw dilemma combinations from a side pile during play as your opponent attempts missions. It also broadened scoring slightly. You can earn points in battle, but kept the same mission-solving soul. The Board Game Geek summary is the fairest framing I've found. 1E recreates the theme, 2A trades a little theme for cleaner, more consistent play. Neither is wrong. Which one calls to you says a lot about why you're here. 1E equals the original theme maximalist 15-minute seed phase. Beloved by purists. 2E equals streamlined counter economy plus on-the-fly dilemmas, far easier to learn. They are not cross-compatible, pick a lane, and you can play both for free. What's it like to hold, and why does the nostalgia hit so hard? There's a specific feeling to a deck of these. The cards are a little smaller in your memory than they are in your hand. The photos are soft, sometimes too dark, the way television looked before everything was 4K, and that softness is exactly what makes them feel like 1994 and not a reproduction of it. Sort of stack by affiliation, and you get this quiet rainbow of border colors, Federation blue beside Klingon red beside Romulan green, each with its little corner icon. I'll say the honest thing curators don't always say, a lot of the cards I love most are worn. Soft corners, a crease, somebody's pencil checkmark on the back of an old starter. I love them more for it, not less. Every mark is a game somebody played, an away team somebody sent down 20-odd years ago before the company quit and the fans took over. One practical, loving caution, because it matters. The card art is Paramount CBS and Decipher copyright, and it is not freely licensed. Even Memory Alpha's material is non-commercial only. So if you fall for this game and want to write about it, link out to the official continuing committee galleries or Memory Alpha, don't rehost the scans. Love it out loud, just don't borrow the imagery. Three honest ways to start playing today. You don't need to track down a grail or spend real money to fall into this game. Here are the three doors, cheapest first. 1. Free print and play, the front door. Go to the continuing committee at Trek.org, read the basic rulebook, and download the 4 coming-of-age starter decks, Federation, Klingon, Romulan, Ferengi. They're balanced against each other and stripped of confusing cards so you can actually learn. Print them, sleeve them over backer cards, and your tournament legal for the price of ink. The committee's own frequently asked questions confirms home-printed cards are legal in sanctioned play. This is the way in 2026 too. A cheap first edition lot, the nostalgist's door, hunt eBay for a used premiere slash first edition start and booster lot. These were printed in enormous numbers during the 90s CCG boom. So they're cheap, buy played condition, expect played condition. And don't let anyone charge you grail money for something that isn't rare. You'll get the original 1994 photo cards in hand and the full seed phase experience. 3. A second edition starter, the Easy On Ramp Door. If you'd rather learn the streamlined game, grab a second-hand second edition 2002 starter. They turn up cheap too, and pair it with the free 2E rulebook from Trek.org. Faster setup, gentler rules, same Trek soul. And if you want to play opponents online, there are community apps, including iPad Play, that let you plug the cards in and find a game. Whichever door you pick, the destination is the same. A 30-year-old game that a community decided to keep alive, waiting for one more away team to beam down. Door 1, free print the coming-of-age starters at Trek.org, start here. Door 2, a cheap played premiere lot on eBay for the original 1994 cards. Door 3, a second-hand 2E starter plus the free 2E rulebook for the easy on-ramp. Where to play it free and find your crew. You don't need anyone's permission or a single dollar to start. Everything here is live and free. Play it free. The continuing committee hosts every card as a high-resolution printable PDF. Begin with their new player guide. So, you want to play Star Trek CCG? Pull the printable cards from the first edition or second edition hubs and skim the frequently asked questions and print policy. Home-printed cards are tournament legal when sleeved over a backer. Find your people. The continuing committee forums, rules, deck designs, organized play, tournament reports, the R Star Trek CCG subreddit, and the long-running Trek BBS thread. For the record, Board Game Geek keeps both editions, first edition and second edition. Tournaments and the World Championship run through the committee's organized play program. Schedules, results, and tournament reports all live on their forums. Show up, and you'll meet the people who kept this game alive. About the images on this page, the card, box, and marketing images here are reproduced for commentary and reporting. Star Trek and all related artwork are copyright Paramount CBS. The game and its card designs are copyright Decipher, Inc. Card and box scans appear courtesy of the long-running fan archives at JKLM.net and Wixabon.com. The wide atmosphere images are original art made for this piece. Most of all, our thanks to the continuing committee, the volunteers who keep this game alive and freely playable. If this piece made you curious, support and join them. The sealed premiere starter box thumbnail is a retailer product photo via Category 1 Games. We do not rehost the committee's own tournament or event photos. Those belong to the people who took them. Follow the links above to see them at the source. Final verdict. I almost left this one in a bin because it didn't come from a store that still exists. That would have been a mistake, not a collector's mistake, a human one. The Star Trek CCG is a beautiful, slightly unwieldy, deeply Trek game wrapped in the soft grain of 1990s television, and the reason it earned a shelf isn't its photo cards or its missions or its seed phase. It's the people. A volunteer committee looked at a game their favorite company had abandoned and simply decided no. They print new cards for free. They write the rules. They fly to Germany to crown a champion. Start with the free coming-of-age starters at Trek. Org tonight, you have no excuse not to, and if you fall for it, chase a cheap premier lot or a 2E starter for the cards in hand. I paid almost nothing for mine and I'd have happily paid more, but the real value here was never the price. It's a piece I'd be sad to lose, kept alive by people who refused to lose it. This one stays, and so it turns out, does the game. Frequently asked questions. Is the Star Trek CCG still playable in 2026? Yes. Although Decipher stopped official support in December 2007, the all-volunteer, nonprofit continuing committee, Trek.org, keeps both first edition and second edition alive in 2026 with free printable cards, living rules, and tournaments, including new sets in production for 2025-2026. How much does it cost to start playing? It can cost nothing. The continuing committee hosts every card as free high-resolution PDFs you print at home, and home-printed cards are tournament legal when sleeved and backed by a physical card. Your only outlay is ink, sleeves, and backer cards. Cheap second-hand original starters are also widely available on eBay. What's the difference between first and second edition? First edition, 1994, uses a setup seed phase where you pre-place dilemmas before play and is theme maximalist but rules-heavy. Second edition 2002 added a counter-cost economy and an on-the-fly dilemma method, making it faster to start and easier to learn. Both win at 100 points by completing missions, but they are separate, non-cross-compatible games. Which edition should a beginner start with? Most newcomers find second edition easier thanks to its streamlined counter system and on-the-fly dilemmas. Either way, the recommended first step is free. Download the continuing committee's coming-of-age starter decks, Federation, Klingon, Romulan, Ferengi, which are built balanced and beginner-friendly with no confusing cards. What is the goal of the game? Score 100 points, primarily by completing missions. You build a deck, lay out 6 missions to form a shared spaceline, then send away teams of personnel or ship crews in space to attempt missions, overcoming face-down dilemmas that block your path. Clear the dilemmas and meet the mission's skill and attribute requirements, and you bank its points. First to 100 wins. What is the continuing committee? The continuing committee, Trek.org, is the all-volunteer, not-for-profit fan organization that took over the game when Decipher ended support in December 2007. Registered in Washington State and run by a board of 7 directors, it produces free virtual card expansions, maintains the rules, and runs organized play, including an annual world championship across first edition, second edition, and tribbles. Can I legally print and play the cards? Yes, per the continuing committee's own frequently asked questions, you may print copies of any and all cards on your home printer, and printed cards are legal in tournament play if they are sleeved and backed by a physical card. Note this applies to playing the game. The card art itself is Paramount CBS and Decipher copyright and should not be rehosted commercially. Are original cards rare or valuable? Generally, no. The original sets, especially Premier / First Edition, were printed in huge quantities during the 1990s CCG boom, so use starter and booster lots are inexpensive on the secondary market. Buy in played condition and don't overpay. Common cards from this game are not rare. Can I play online or against other people remotely? Yes. Community-made apps let you play both first and second edition on the computer by plugging the cards in, including an iPad app for online play against others. The Continuing Committee's organized play also includes in-person events up to a global world championship held annually.